soft heart, then we're going to be willing to listen to what God has to say. And as we look at a lot of this, it mentions the heart. And I think a lot of times what I've seen go on in churches, people have a problem and they're mad at somebody and that person doesn't even know it, but they won't go up to them and they won't get anything right. I mean, I'm thinking of a person in a church. It's in another state, so it's not anybody around here, but it's a person in another state. You know, they just misunderstood something that was happening. Some people were laughing in church, and they thought that those people were laughing at them, and they weren't. They were laughing at a family member of theirs who did something silly during the church service, but they got their feelings all hurt, and they were just being rude to those people that they thought laughed at them, that didn't laugh at them, and they held this big old grudge for a long time, and finally that person went up to him, "Did I do something wrong? Is everything okay?" And they're like, "You should know what you did." And I mean, just ridiculous. And it finally got brought out, but still it's not been the same because that person's heart. They feigned forgiveness. Feign means like they faked it. They just kind of said, "I forgive you," but don't, because they're still holding a grudge. And that's one of the reasons why there's so many problems in churches. And we can't be like that. We cannot do the things that God wants us to do if we're going to be like that. This whole thing, when we got started on looking at church discipline, came about because we went into, I'm preaching through the book of Acts, and we got to Acts chapter 5, and we see the first instance of church discipline. It was brought about by God. God did it when someone was lying. God exercised discipline. Imagine if he did that again. See, it said after that, they all feared God. Whoa, all right. See, imagine if we knew someone did something wrong, they sinned, God revealed it to us somehow like he did to Peter. He said, "Hey, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost?" And then boom, they just drop dead and everyone's like, "What just happened? Whoa." I mean, I think everyone's going to be walking kind of a little bit on eggshells. You know what that's called? That's called carefulness. Amen. They're going to be careful. They're going to be like, "Oh, I'm sorry, Lord." That's the fear of God. You shouldn't fear God like that. I beg to differ. That's what they did right in the book of Acts. That's what happened. They feared God. And oh, what carefulness it wrought. See, when repentance came, remember we were looking at that. Oh, what carefulness it wrought. That's what it'll do in our lives. If we fear God, if that were to happen, we'd all be real careful about the way we behaved and the way we acted. And if God revealed something to us, we'd say, "Oh, yes, sir. Okay, yes, Lord, I realize I'm doing that wrong. Forgive me." We'd be willing to get it right. We wouldn't hold on to it because we'd fear him, because we'd have a right heart. Or if we were continuing to have that wrong heart, we realize that's what happens if you're going to be there and not right with God. Then we'd stop faking it and we'd just say, "I'm out of here."
Amen.
One of two things is going to happen. All right, one of three things. You're either going to get right, you're going to get out, or church discipline will force you out. That's what happened there. In Acts, church discipline forced them out. But it all reveals a person's heart. That's what we're seeing. I don't know what's going to happen on November 18th. Who's going to sign, who isn't. And I don't know what's going to happen after that. But one thing is certain. Whatever consequences come about will reveal people's hearts. So what we want to do to prevent that from ever happening, church discipline in any way, shape, or form, is we want to keep a soft heart. Ask God for a soft heart. Regularly ask God to reveal things to us. I know I do, and I sometimes still get a hard heart. Right, you just—it's not that that it's like rock hard, but it's just kind of like I don't care. I mean, I care, but I don't. I'm just kind of indifferent. towards it. I mean, I care, I know it's important, but not like I should. And that's the steps to getting a truly hard heart. So we have to ask God, God, soften my heart. God, show me. God, reveal some things to me. That's all preventive discipline. Now we're here in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. He says, finally, be ye all of one mind. Sounds like unity. Having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Having compassion one of another. Preventive church discipline takes place when we love and forgive one another.
Amen.
That's when it takes place. If we will love and forgive one another. The ultimate expression of love, if we look at John 3:16, we could say is forgiveness. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That purchased our forgiveness. That was our pardon. So for us, it's forgiveness. We need to love each other enough to forgive each other. To not hold on to something that somebody did to harm us, to hurt us. Just within our own homes, I think we can see this when there's been an issue, when somebody did something wrong to somebody else. And you could feel the tension that's in a home, especially between a husband and a wife when things are right. But even between brothers and sisters, parents and children, I mean, you know the tension that's there when things aren't right. It's no fun. You don't even want to be there. I mean, you could like cut, it's so thick, you can cut the air with a knife, you know, when you walk into that. And nobody enjoys it until something takes place, forgiveness. And it's because of love that we forgive. Or that we should. It doesn't always happen like that. When we're willing to put others first, there'll be no reason for petty squabbling because we won't be focused on how we were personally wronged. I'm not even going to get to it today, but maybe next week or the week after that when we get to it. Just the focus we put on ourselves so much is so misplaced. Yeah. It's so misplaced. And every one of us sitting in here is guilty of it. Every one of us. But it's so misplaced. We have to be willing to put other people first. And if we do that, then we're not going to be upset. Even if they wrong us in not something that's petty, but something big. If we're willing to put other people first. If it's not always about me and my feelings. For us as Christians, for us to really help people, we have to be willing to be wronged. That just comes with the territory. Because you're going to give yourself and give yourself and give yourself, and then somebody's going to let you down. And you got to love them anyway. And help them anyway. So I just want to be done with them. No, we can't ever get that attitude. We can never get the attitude, I'm done with you. Now we can turn them over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh and leave them at that, but it doesn't mean we stop praying or stop caring for them or if they walk back in the doors, we're not willing to help them. It doesn't mean that. We still help them. But we have to be willing to put others first. Romans 12, 9 and 10 says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. Let's go ahead and turn there. Again, Peter said that we're to have compassion one of another and we're to love as brethren. Compassion. Jude said to have compassion making a difference. and of some have compassion, making a difference. Peter says, be ye all of one mind. To me, this speaks of a church having compassion one of another. He's talking to believers, and if they're to have one mind, that's speaking about a body, a church. And to love as brethren. We all naturally, for the most part, there could be some exceptions, but for the most part, all of us know how to love our siblings. You just grow up with that. It's just a natural part of doing it. And he's saying that's how you need to love as brethren. Take care of each other like you would your brother or sister. I'm telling you right now, if one of my sisters called me right now and said they needed something and it was serious, I'd do whatever I could to help them. I would. I'd do whatever I could. Do we feel the same way about each other in here? Would we do the same thing for somebody in here? That's the type of love we're to have for each other. It goes on to say in verse 9, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing. What's that? You don't have to get even. You don't have to one-up them. You don't have to have the last word. Okay, now Romans 12:9. Let love be without dissimulation. The word dissimulation is the concealment of opinion or hypocrisy. It's hiding the way you truly feel. Love shouldn't be like that. If we love each other, it shouldn't be concealing our true opinion. What's going to hurt each other as a body, as a church, is to act as if everything is okay when in reality someone has done something to hurt our feelings. You're being a hypocrite. You're being a fake. You're dissimulating. You have dissimulation. Don't act as if everything is okay if it's not. Now, there may be a proper time and place to go talk to them. You know, if you walk in and someone says, hey, how are you doing? And you say, I'm okay, but oh, that's dissimulation. No, that's not the proper time to talk to somebody about it. Then just wait and catch them at an opportune time when you can discuss it. But we shouldn't hold on to these things. Don't be fake. Don't hide your true feelings. If you're mad at somebody, then let them know what they did wrong so they have an opportunity to say, wow, I didn't know I did that. I'm sorry. Or, well, here's why I did this, because you did this to me, and you guys hash it out. And if you need help, I'll help with that. If I'm the problem, then come talk to me. Amen. I mean, I want to get things right in here. I want to keep them right. I mean, 10 years from now, if there's an issue, I want to keep it right. I mean, I want us to stay right with each other and love each other. Let our love be without dissimulation. God says that it's evil. Look, he says, abhor that which is evil. What? Love that should be without dissimulation. If your love has dissimulation, it's evil. It's evil. Abhor it. Hate it. Nobody I know of likes a hypocrite. The funny thing is we're all one at some time or another. But none of us like it. None of us like somebody that's like that. I mean, to me, the epitome of a hypocrite is a salesman. I can't stand salesmen. I'm just like, when I want something, I will get you. And I don't want anything, so go away. I just don't like salesmen. I'm talking car salesmen, not all salesmen. Mostly car salesmen. They come up like they're your best friend. Like you've known each other for 10 years. I mean, they don't even have a vehicle you like. And they're like, oh, this is going to be perfect for you. You're going to like, get away from me. No, it's not. I don't want that. I mean, I just can't stand salesmen. That's the epitome of hypocrisy right there. Right? I mean, hopefully one of your brothers or something isn't a car salesman or something. All right? Maybe he's the exception, okay? What's that? Maybe he's the exception. I don't know. We're to abhor dissimulation. We're to hate it. I need to be more careful in what I say. Pray for me. I sometimes say things I shouldn't say, and then I think about it afterwards. That's that foot and mouth disease right there, okay? We need to love each other enough to be honest with each other and put others first. That's true friendship. To love each other enough to be honest with each other. As members of the same body, can we do that? When we see somebody is doing something that's self-destructive, that's hurting them and their family, can we be honest enough? Can we love them enough to tell them the truth? That's hard. that's hard. But if we are going to prevent church discipline from happening, and I say prevent because honestly, us doing this, it is a type of church discipline. It may not be the steps laid out in Matthew 18, but you're already on that path to it. But the preaching is church discipline. I mean, all the time it is. So,
amen.
Can we love each other enough that if we see someone doing self-destructive to them, to their family, that we will say something in brotherly love, with meekness? Can we do that for each other? Can we help each other? See, love is an action word. It forces us to act, to do something, to not just sit still, but to say, there's a problem right there. There's danger. Maybe they don't see it. Maybe this person in the church doesn't see the danger that they're in. See, if there was a fire in here, none of us would have a problem with, you know, yelling, fire, fire, get out, and start helping usher people out if there was a fire in this building, because we can see the imminent danger. Here's the problem with spiritual fires. We don't see them. It's a shipwreck that's coming that you can't necessarily see the danger right in front of you. But as we're talking about these things and as we're looking at church discipline and some of the issues going on within our church, I'm just telling you what's happening right here as a pastor. There's spiritual danger that's happening, that people are harming themselves, and it's not just affecting them, it's affecting their families, their children, but it's also affecting us. Without even asking other people, just things I've heard in praying with other people, people can sense that something is not what it once was here about a year ago. Things have changed here because it's affecting us. This is the seriousness of it. And so much of what happens and the decisions that people make harms their children more than they ever know. And the problem with it is, people that we've had leave this church are harming their children. People here that are a part of this church are harming their children. And maybe they don't know it. But because everything looks good right here, doesn't mean that it will in 2 years. Or 10 years, or 15 years. I can't say this enough when it comes to child training. Somebody is always being trained. Amen. Training is always taking place. Always. Now, we look at the state of churches and the gospel that is given out, this repentanceless gospel, and we say, I don't want that here. And I see the fruit of it. I see the results of that gospel and what it is in the people's lives and the way it just harms the children coming up through it, going into young adults. Many of them I know now, or even some in their 30s and whatnot. And I look and I see the danger that it's caused. And it's all because a bad example was set, a corruption of the gospel, a lessening of the importance of the Lord's church, and all these things that have gone on. And I'm telling you right now, the same thing will happen with families that aren't willing to properly lead their homes. The same exact thing will happen. Because the example that's being set, we're showing our children that church is not important, that God is not important. That's what you're telling them. That is what we're telling them. And I've said it before, and I hope everybody believes me. I'm not trying to pick on anyone specifically. But in order to deal with what's going on within our church, I have to say things, and I can't not say it just because I'm not trying to pick on somebody. I have to say these things to help this body. I have to. I can't not say it. And I'm not trying to be mean. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I'm not. But if things aren't fixed, they're doing irreparable damage apart from the grace and mercy of God. But I've seen it too many times with children that this is the example they've seen. And they come out despising God on the other end of it. And I'm not joking. I'm not over-exaggerating it. I'm not one bit. They come out despising God on the other end of it because they don't see it as real. And not one of us here can run somebody else's home. Not one of us can. But here's what we can do. We can guard this body and maintain that if you want to be a member here, you need to be faithful. I can't get past it in Acts chapter 2. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They continued. And in fellowship. And in breaking of bread. They continued. That means they were there. We need to love each other enough to be honest. Amen. To be honest. Now, it says there, let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. There we see it again. Brotherly love. Kindly affectioned towards each other. That's the type of love we're to have, is towards each other. It's kind affection in brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. It's putting others first. Prefer them first. So are we putting others first? Will we love each other enough to be honest with each other? Can we do that? Here, let me throw this at us. Can we love each other enough to receive it when someone else brings it to us? Can we love each other enough to receive it? Can we just maybe, when we hear it, and it might get us fired up inside mad, can we just calm down, relax, and let it soak in? And if there's truth to it, have enough humility to admit we're wrong and that we need to get right. Again, the best place for this to happen is through the preaching of the Word of God, through our own Bible reading and our own Bible study. That way we can keep a soft heart. That way we remain kindly affectioned one to another so that we can approach each other in love. So do we abhor dissimulation? If something's offended us, someone's offended us, here's what I want for us. If we have an issue with somebody, because we're going in to take the Lord's Supper on the 18th, everybody that wants to remain a member, we're going to take the Lord's Supper. And I'm telling you, the Bible says that there's people, those that have taken it unworthily, and they're dead. They died because they took it unworthily. It's no joke. It's no joking matter. Go to Luke 22, please. Luke 22 and verse 29. He says, "And I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." You can eat and drink at his table in his kingdom. That's what we're going to be doing. How lightly are we going to take that? We're sitting at his table. It's his table in his kingdom. And are we going to lightly esteem that? So here's over this next week and a half, what we need to do is we need to get thoroughly right with God. And in getting thoroughly right with God, that would mean I get thoroughly right with anybody that I feel has done me wrong, or maybe that I've done wrong to and have never said anything. We need to make that right. So between now and then, that's something every one of us needs to examine ourselves and see, is there anybody I need to make sure that I'm right with? And first we get right with God and confess it as sin to God. Maybe it's one of our children. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's a brother or sister. Maybe it's someone amongst the body that we go to, but we need to find the time to go to them and make things right. You can only do what you can do. You can't make somebody forgive you or anything like that, but you can do your end of the bargain. You can hold up your side. You can let love be without dissimulation. That's what we need to do over this next week and a half. If that needs to take place, it needs to take place. If for some reason there needs to be a public repentance on your behalf, you feel, just let me know and we'll take care of it during the service. We can do that. If it needs to be private, leave it private. It's none of anybody's business but yours and that person. If there is an issue, maybe there's not, I don't know. But I'm just saying, if there's something like that, we need to get it right. We need to make sure that we are right with the Lord before we go and sit at his table. That's part of what this is. It's a cleansing for us as a body. It helps us to get things straightened out. To figure, if I've not been the member that I should be, that God requires of me, then now's my time to confess it before God and get things right and repent. God, I am sorry. Forgive me for not being what I should be. Lord, help me going forward from here. You can't fake it with God. He knows what you are. There's those that eat and drink unworthily. Paul said, many sleep. So that's what we need to do the next week and a half. And if someone comes to you, receive it. Love them. Love them. Love each other. We are going to do things that bother each other because we're people. So we need to just forgive each other. Look, understand, everybody has a bad day sometimes. Everybody can come in here grouchy sometimes. So just let's give a little grace. Thank God that he doesn't drop the hammer on us like we would on some people. Amen, right? Amen. Let's pray.